You've probably heard this phrase, or maybe even used it, by whose authority? When you're confronted by a person who claims to be in charge, by whose authority do you do this? Well, again, I always refer to my favorite theological desk reference, the dictionary, and Marion defines authority as the power to influence or command thought, opinion, and behavior. So someone has to give you this power. Someone has to give you this authority. Now, one of the first things you learn in any leadership class, whether it's in corporate America or in the military or in the Boy Scouts or whatever it is, you have to be given authority, and you can delegate authority. Authority can be passed down, thus creating a chain of authority. Somebody is always accountable to someone. The one thing that you cannot delegate is responsibility. For example, Mr. Smith, you're in charge of this warehouse, conducted inventory. So Mr. Smith hires Jimmy Jones. Okay, Jimmy, start counting. But Jimmy is more interested in leaving work early and reports, it's all here. So he leaves for the day with the loading dock door open. Next morning, Mr. Smith reports everything accounted for, when in fact half the warehouse is missing. Who's responsible? Well, Jimmy probably gets fired in Mr. Smith's career. That doesn't look too promising either. You see, like I said, we're all accountable to someone. When we are given authority, we become responsible for others, including their actions. That's why a lot of people, you know, step away from that. I don't want to be in charge, all that responsibility. When we look at this chain of authority, we have to look back to its origins. Now we're getting very, very deep and philosophical here. You see, when we keep looking back at the source of authority, it goes back to one person, and it's God Himself. You know, there was a time in this country where the Ten Commandments were prominently displayed in all of our courthouses. The source, the ultimate authority for the laws of man, derived from the laws of God. When we do not acknowledge this higher authority, we start to lose our way. Some may even say that we lose our moral compass. And this is happening in our country today. All of you know, most of you know that, you know, I began my priesthood in the Archdiocese of Washington, D.C., and I was assigned to a particular parish where there are a lot of highly influential people in our parish, and one of them happened to be John Roberts, who was a very close friend of our pastor, and I just happened to be the associate. And because of this nice tight connection between the pastor, you know, and the Chief Justice of the United States, the eighth graders once a year got a special guided tour of the Supreme Court building, where they also had an opportunity to have a question and answer session with the Chief Justice. And you know, these kids are, you know, they're eighth graders, they're Catholic, they're going to school. Of course they see Mr. Roberts in church on Sundays, and so they ask him a couple of poignant questions. One of the questions was, how do you as a Catholic affect your decisions as a judge? And one of the things he said is that when he puts on his black robes and enters the courthouse, the courtroom, is only the laws of man affect his decisions. And we see where that's gotten us. You see, the law of God is absolute. It is the truth. Yet man, in his skewed wisdom, tries to redefine the truth. You see, this is where, as a society, we get into trouble. Hearkening back to the words of the serpent to the woman, you can become like gods. Stay close to the truth that is Jesus Christ. What will happen when the laws of man are in direct opposition to the laws of God? We're seeing this played out in the desire to destroy life in the womb. After 40 years, the Supreme Court decision was overturned. Huzzah! Our work, our protests, our vigils, our marches, our prayers, they all worked. Roe versus Wade was overturned and the truth prevailed. Or did it? I'm not a legal scholar, but I think it was overturned on a matter of states' rights, because now in the state of Ohio, it is still legal to take life in the womb. The battle continues. Man is still separating himself from the truth of God. The revelation of that truth is the Word made flesh, Jesus Christ. I think I've told you this time and time again. Whenever I say the word truth, it's a capital T. In today's gospel, in their synagogue was a man with an unclean spirit. He cried out, "What do you have to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God." Even the unclean spirit knows who Jesus is. What does that say about us? Those who do not recognize Jesus, that those who do not recognize the truth, are lower than this unclean spirit. They are the minions of the evil one. They become the Antichrist. For our parts, we must proclaim that truth boldly. After all, remember, you're a priest, you're a prophet, you're a king. Do not take this authority lightly. Do not take this responsibility lightly. You have the authority to speak in his name. And on that day of judgments, our particular judgments, when we are called to give an accounting, what are we going to say when he asks us, "Did you proclaim the truth in my name?" Brothers and sisters, we've been given much responsibility. We've been given much authority. We are responsible for the actions of those around us and our others as part of building the kingdom. May we have the strength to do so in his name.